to thank God for those things. And the things that are out of order, you're going to have to ask God for grace for. Grace and wisdom. When I used to go, when John was, and he would be sitting at his desk with his computer and whatever he was doing, and totally as if I wasn't there, I would used to go in and try to bug him enough to get his attention. And sometimes he would turn and smile for a second or whatever and go back to what he was doing. He really wasn't trying to avoid me. He really enjoyed or felt he needed to do those computer things or whatever he was doing. I personally had a need to feel important and loved. He, at that point in his life, could not meet that need. We've learned so much here with loving yourself and perfect love. You know, he could meet the needs of provider. He could meet the needs of, you know, being responsible, going to his job. But the emotional needs, because of his own childhood and things, he could not meet. Which opened the door for the devil to talk to me really loud and tell me how much he didn't love me. And tell me how much he was avoiding me. And so number one, or I don't know what number we're on. I don't do numbers. Whatever. Whatever number you're on in your notes with. We have to stop the accuser, the enemy. We have to stop him from talking. Sometimes you're going to have to get really strong about this. I remember, and I'm talking even now sometimes. I mean, it was probably about 6 or 7 months ago, I'm not sure. But John just came in, stormed up the stairs, and, you know, and he's not violent, so he's storming. He walked up the stairs, okay? He walked up the stairs, and he just totally, as if I wasn't there, went down in to the master bedroom and just sat down at the computer and and I went in to say something and I don't know what he said, but I left really. I stormed down to the guest room because that's where I go for prayer and everything else, and I went down there and the devil was talking to me the whole way down the hall. I was like, go back in there and tell him you're not putting up with this anymore. Go back in there and say, you had better take me out tonight if you love me. Go, just march yourself down there. And I'm like, and the devil's like, he just doesn't even love you. Look at all this, all these years. What are you wasting your time? I mean, he was like talking, he was like screaming. I know probably none of you have ever had any of these kind of experiences, but, you know, I'm just going to open up to you today and just be real, okay? And I'm sure. And let me see, lady, I think the devil talks to women louder here, okay? I really do. You know, we got that more sensitivity thing going. And God tells the husbands to love the wife. He doesn't tell us to love you. Did you notice that when we read that last night? He'll take care of that today. He's going to tell us that our bodies belong to you. Because that's what most of you really like about this love thing. And if you don't, you need some deliverance and we'll help you there. One of the men in the ministry will help you get free. Everybody's like, ooh, she's really, it's like, yeah. Because God gets that, doesn't he? God says, husbands, love your wife as you love and love yourself. And I love that definition last night. That was the most on-target definition when it says women. It doesn't, we've interpreted that to say, wives, respect your husbands. But actually, it's wife, have deference to your husbands. And when we looked that up, that meant to put their opinion, to lay down your own opinion. Well, right there, it shows you that the teaching God has given me about the natural headship is exactly what it's talking about. Because natural headship is always opinion-based. What I want to do. Spiritual headship is always, there's no opinion, there's no room for opinion in spiritual headship that belongs to Christ. He wants obedience because he does know what's right. His is not an opinion. His is based on loving you. His is based on taking care of you. His is going to be pure and have the ending. But in the marriage relationship, the husband's opinion is to take priority if it comes down to a power struggle. It does not mean he gets to pick out the colors of everything and the dishes and all these kinds of things, because the Bible is very clear. Women be busy at home. God put that in her. It's part of who she is. But ladies, stay out of his garage. He doesn't have to have cute curtains if he doesn't want cute curtains. You know, John did not want curtains in his garage. What are you putting those curtains in this garage? Oh, no, he thought, oh, this will be a great towel. just, oh, good, get the grease off. This will be great. Cute curtains didn't work long, you know. So no, God has everything covered in his word. The reason, one of the reasons I believe he instructs the men to love their wives is because you're actually going to have to die to self to do that. You're actually going to have to spend time asking God how to do that. I don't understand what she's trying to get at. I mean, I would have these entire scenarios in my head of how much John didn't love me and how much he was thinking these bad thoughts about me and all this. And I'd finally say, so, are you thinking this? And he's like, what? What? And let me tell you something about my husband. He does not lie. He's not trying to. He's like, Cindy, I just had this problem at work today, and I was thinking about this all day, and I was trying to get this thing solved, and it has nothing to do with you. Oh, you mean you're not sitting here ignoring me because you're mad at me, or you don't love me, or I'm not pretty enough, or I didn't cook good enough? John is like the most pure-thinking person I've ever met. He's just like, he's really got this genuine innocence towards evil, which is really nice. I mean, I grew up totally different than that. My little brain, God's had to kill my plotting to do evil and trying to get around things. And that's why I'm so good at preaching all this stuff on conniving and manipulating and controlling. And, you know, I just, all we should say is, thank you, God, you got a hold of me early. But my husband's not like that. You know, he'll really just tell you what's on his mind. If he wants to, or he won't tell you at all. He doesn't, but he's not going to lie. And so here I am. I had more inner fights with him that he was unaware of when I just let the devil be in charge. Now, what I had to learn, though, if my husband wasn't going to go after God to learn to love me, that was okay. Because I can be complete in Christ, and I should be complete in Christ. And what I had to actually do is go and let the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to me in such a strong way that God took care of all those insecurities. That God made me know that I'm wonderfully made. That God took away the confusion. That God healed things from my past. That God made me feel lovely. Now, this isn't to say that a Christian husband shouldn't desire to be used by God to speak to their wife these things that would make her feel loved. But if you're in a situation, ladies, where your husband is not open to that, is not able to do that, or maybe there is no husband, God wants you to know he will meet that need. And he'll break the cycle of codependency. He'll break the cycle of you trying to get that need met, either from your husband, through manipulation, control, seduction, whatever, works, or trying to get it met in a relationship outside of the marriage, or if you're single, try to get it met in a dating relationship. God wants all that stopped. He'll be the husband to the one whose husband can't yet submit enough to God and love themselves enough to love you. That's what's so awesome. You don't have to get a divorce and try to find the husband who loves himself so much that he'll be able to love you. And please get our teaching on loving yourself, because there's also the entire counterfeit of the person who only loves themselves and only wants you to cook clean, look right, make them look good. And many people fall into that trap because they're trying to find this person to make them feel loved. So get everyone here, no matter what your status as far as marriage status, really can have a relationship with God where you will know that you're loved. And we have lots of teaching, and it's all half price during this conference to help you with that. How many have learned that a lot since you've been coming, especially on Tuesday nights? I mean, really learning that. So don't, you know, when you feel this hurt, when you feel this struggle in you to try to cause your spouse to change and cause your spouse to meet a need, I really encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit, what teaching do I need? What do I need to get free from needing this? Don't harden your heart against them, though. Well, who needs you? I got God. No, that's not the kind of marriage He wants to reveal. It may look like that for a short time. I know when God began to wean me from being so codependent with John, and He began to show me, look, let me meet those needs. There was almost a season where you got so free from that codependent relationship that you wondered, why were you married? Well, that's a good place to be in the sense of you're getting free in Christ. But that's when you can really start having the real marriage that God has for you. When you get to that place that you don't need to be married, not because I don't need to be married, no, because God, with you, who needs to be married? You take care of this, you work this, you handle this, you do all these things. And then the Lord says, you are married. Now that I filled you up, now that your tank is on loaded, that you know you're loved, that you know you're valuable, that you know you're gifted, that you love yourself, now let's pour that into your spouse and into your children. And if you get really filled, you can pour it into your extended family. And really filled, you can pour it into people you don't even like normally. That's what God wants. That's what grace does. That's how awesome He is. And then you're not doing what you do to get something in return. I have to tell people, most people who are praying for their spouse, they're not really praying for their spouse, they're praying for themselves. And that's a selfish prayer. God doesn't answer selfish prayers. See, God has this concept that He's enough. So when you're praying that you need somebody to change so that you'll be okay, what you're saying to God is, you're really not enough. God's not listening to that prayer. He's like, that's a prayer God can't answer. God, if you would just change him. God, if you would just stop him from drinking. God, if you would just stop him from this. God, if you would just stop him from being controlling. God, if you would just stop him. The Lord's like, what's the rest of that? Lord, if you would just stop him, then I could be a good wife. Lord, if you would just stop him. Or husband. This goes either way, all right? So I'm the wife part here, so it's just easier for me to talk that way, but you can switch this whichever way you need to. God, if you would just change him, God, if you would just change her, then what? What's your then to God? Then I will stay in the marriage? Then I will be happy? Then I will be a good spouse? Then what? Oh, everybody's like, oh man. Then I will What? What deal are you trying to pull with God? What requirement are you putting on this thing that he has to fulfill for you to be obedient to receive the grace God has for you? Does that make sense? See, God wants to turn a lot of this stuff around. I didn't know what order I was going to do this, but let's just go ahead and do this. Let's look in Genesis